You're listening to me, your lovable host, L. Rod, here on The Rod Eccles Show.
You want to know what time it is? It's time to bring the rain.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
And all you new listeners out there, yes, I am your lovable host, L. Rod, coming to you live from the Bunker Eye Studio, located somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is still live free or die. It is not big government or bust. And yes, I checked again this morning, and it has not changed. Although around here, today was the first day of school for many kids, and I noticed none of the school bus license plates had been changed either. They're all still saying live free or die on them. So at least if the kids would even just pay attention to their school buses, they might learn more. They actually might learn more on the bus about America than what they're learning inside their public school, to tell you the truth. In any case, here it is Wednesday, hump day. It is Wednesday, August number 29 in the year of our Lord, 2018. And again, folks, I cannot emphasize enough why you must be here next Wednesday, September 5th, for stuff that is going to blow you away. It's going to blow your mind away. It really, and that's just the beginning. What's coming up in the rest of the fall is we've got some exciting stuff. We've got a new show. Still can't tell you who the participants or the hosts are going to be yet. I'm still going to hold on to that one. But a great new program is coming up in August. New video programming is October. It is August. Great new video programming coming in October and November. And just a bunch of other new stuff coming up in the autumnal season. So you're going to be wanting to pay attention, especially considering, by the way, we again further reducing my social media footprint. Some of you might have noticed already that I am removing myself from a plethora, and I don't know how you can do this on Facebook, but I need to stop, because you can individually keep people from signing you up or joining you up on individual groups. But I need to cut it all out because I'm eliminating just about every single group that I'm a member of, because most of them I don't go to anyway, and it's just clogging up my whole system trying for the groups that I want to get to. You know how difficult it is sometimes to find the group you want to go to when you're a member of, like, say, like I am, over 1,200 groups? I didn't put myself in those things. And I'm not so interested in going to the political groups anymore. You know, the pro-Trump this, pro-Trump that, Trump. And sometimes you go to these groups and you listen to them, or I shouldn't say listen, you read their posts, and they're like, you've got to be crazy. How is not voting, because this is the person who's running doesn't have a competitor that's a pro-Trumper, and you think that the person who's running is anti-Trump? How is letting a Democrat take the seat going to help Donald Trump? How is letting a liberal? You can't get through to these people. So I've had enough of that kind of crap. Again, I've got the choice. It's called making market choices. So my market choice is I'm trying to eliminate all the groups I don't want to have anything to do with. Yeah, sure, I still want to be a part of certain groups, like a woodworking group and a couple of cigar groups, aficionado groups. Those are great. I go to those. But it's hard to find them sometimes because of all the other crap that's there. And I admit some of the, you know, a lot of that crap I joined too. So, but now I don't want to be a part of it. So you'll probably notice that I'm reducing my footprint on Facebook dramatically. All that stuff's going away. Although I did realize I didn't. I was a little bit ignorant. I didn't completely realize the extent of, I don't know, list in groups that you can be a part of on Twitter. I didn't find that out till yesterday. And then I went looking and realized I'm a part of how many lists and groups? I didn't sign up for any of them. Because I didn't even know what the benefit of them was, to tell you the truth. I didn't even want to find out, didn't care. But yesterday, I people were mentioning this kind of stuff, and I went looking. I'm like, oh, my dear God. I don't know. Now I know why some people have in their profile no list or be blocked or whatever. Like, what are these people? What do you mean no list? Who cares? Put you on the list, so what? And now I know why. I never claimed I knew everything about Twitter, how to utilize it. But evidently, there are other people who were smarter at it than I was. In this whole list, and look, I'm in marketing. I should have known. I didn't know how to use the stupid list, but yeah. So no more groups on Facebook. No more list unless I actually want to be added to the list on Twitter. I don't know what any of the others. I should probably go and look and see what like YouTube and LinkedIn and Google Plus have, and as far as that stuff's related, and start trying to block that stuff too. It's incredible though, because you never, because your stuff gets out where you don't. That's how you lose control of your own stuff. Because you don't know where it's going because you've been added to places that you probably don't even want to be, which is really why sometimes I get kind of surprised by somebody just all of a sudden attacking me on Twitter. You don't follow me, so how the hell did you know I said that? And it just goes back to going to some list because your stuff gets put on, you tweet, and it's on some list, tweet list somewhere. And that's, I mean, it's fine, but I just didn't know that before. But in any case, maybe one of these days we'll just do a whole in-depth hour or something on each of the major social media networks. Because I'm sure a lot of people who are complaining about them don't really fully understand how they all work. They don't. I mean, I've been using Twitter since, 2008, 2009, and I still don't fully understand how it fully works. You learn something new every day. Facebook, I'm very well versed at. Yes, believe it or not, I am. Evidently, Twitter, I'm not so much. Well, I can admit it. Well, Rod, you don't admit everyone you're wrong or when you don't know something. I do that all the time. The problem with admitting that I'm wrong is that it's so rare. I'm just saying. I mean, there's a lot I don't know, but being wrong. I'm not, it happens so rare. Because if I'm going to talk about something, I'm going to know my shit first. Just saying. I'm not going to talk out my ass about anything. If I don't know about something, I'll tell you. I don't know. Or I'm not sure. Well, maybe I got to look it up first. I don't know. And once I do, that's when I know my stuff. And I know my stuff like this next guy knows his stuff. And that would be Agent 0010. Because Agent 0010 knows his stuff because he looks it up, he researches, he investigates, he does all that is needed, so he is rarely, rarely, rarely wrong. And that's how you build trust, by almost always being right. How are you, Agent? Good morning to you.
Good morning, and good morning to all the listeners. How's everybody doing? How are you doing, Rod?
I am blessed and highly favored, and although I'm starting to sweat now all of a sudden, I'm going to turn on the AC this today, man. It's going to be brutal.
Oh, what's that old saying? Sucks to be you! Anyway, I'd just like to say good morning, everyone. And yeah, one of the things, honestly, you say I'm rarely, so on and so forth, ever wrong. Here's my thing. But when I am, you know what? I have to admit it. I have to call it. I have to be the first one to admit I was wrong when it comes to anything that I've ever been wrong about. Because in all honesty, it's not a sign of maturity and it's not a sign of being a real man, blah, blah, blah. No, it's a sign of growth. And by admitting that you're wrong and looking for what you did wrong and then correcting it and never doing it again, well, that, like I said, that's a sign of growth. Irrelevant of gender. How many are there this week for genders? 97, 197, according to those snowflakes, whatever. According, it's irrelevant of gender. It's irrelevant of anything else. It's just a sign that you want to grow as a person. But be that as it may, straight to the report. Now, first thing I want to talk about, and I didn't tweet this out, but this just came, I just found this out this morning. You know what? As far as the EU is concerned, they seem that there might be an actual split about to occur, in my honest opinion. Now, this is my opinion, that there might be a split going on in the EU, and it's not going to be a pretty one either. Because the fact is that, remember last week when I told you that the Italians, especially the Prime Minister, Matteo Salvini, he turned around and he said, well, you know what, that boat full of all those immigrants, they're going to go back. Remember when we talked about that?
Yeah, yep. And now we have the Czech Republic.
Well,
Prime
guess what? Salvini has backup.
We're losing you. You're in and out again. Well, hold on as we try to get Agent 0010 back. Sometimes he calls from ultra-secret locations, and I think there's too much lead in the walls. Well, you know the whole thing, lead rooms, lead. Yeah, actually, it isn't lead-lined rooms. You know what works very well?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, guess what? Salvini now has support from the Hungarian Prime Minister. And the Hungarian Prime Minister considers Matteo Salvini his hero and vows to help Italy defend its borders. You know what? There are many ways to defend a border. And the most drastic one is, of course, sending troops. But like I said, there might be a split happening deep within the EU, and it might be a very dangerous split. But the other thing we're going to talk about is French forces managed to eliminate a top ISIS commander in Mali. That's Africa. Now, even though Macron right now is facing a lot of political backlash going on, especially when one of his most popular secretaries or ministers of his cabinet announced yesterday that he's going to step down, and this is his environmental minister, because he's tired of the slow process as far as the green energy aspect of France. And yeah, he's just an elderly snowflake. He is stepping down, but he's also one of the most, like I said, one of the most popular ministers that Macron has. Well, after carrying out airstrikes and ground operations in northern Mali, and in the process, they killed Mohamed Ach Al-Munan, who is identified as a top commander for the ISGS. Now, that is the Islamic State in the Greater Sahara. So, French forces stepped it up and basically not only killed him, but killed several other ISIS troops. Now, we talk about Africa. Well, guess what? The Islamic State's emir for its Khorasan province, okay? An emir is basically like a priestly commander. Well,
he was reportedly killed by ground forces that was comprised of Afghan and coalition forces. So now we have ISIS being engaged in Afghanistan, ISIS being engaged in Africa, ISIS being engaged in Yemen, ISIS being engaged in the Philippines, ISIS being engaged all over the place. And not to exclude Iraq and Syria. So ISIS is spread pretty thin, and supposedly there are reports going around saying that there are only 30,000 ISIS fighters left. Now, I don't know if that's in Syria and Iraq together or all over the world, but 30,000 seems like a low number for what's going on. The fact still remains is that ISIS has lost a lot of individuals either to being killed in combat or captured in combat. And their numbers are dwindling. Now, ISIS has also turned around and changed its method of operation. They've decided that instead of going out on full attacks, that they're going to do this onesie-twosies cell attacks. Basically, get ready for this. This is what ISIS is now doing. They are now using the same technique that the one organization that they criticized the most has always used. And that organization is Al-Qaeda. ISIS criticized Al-Qaeda for not using ground forces and creating a holy army. So now what's ISIS doing? Because of such a mass loss of lives, they're now reverting to what Al-Qaeda has done all along. Karma, I guess.
Yeah, that's the terror attacks as well as infiltrating countries like Sweden and then causing havoc by burning, you know, 15 cars one night and raping women another night and all that kind of stuff, yeah.
But here's the thing that's funny, okay? Al-Qaeda never managed to do this. ISIS did. For ISIS's benefit, because of their armies and because they were going in and basically attacking cities, conquering the cities, and just taking over control, ISIS also managed to get their hands, and I've reported on this before, ladies and gentlemen. Last year, I reported on this. In fact, in 2016, I reported on this. I explained why this whole travel ban was a bright idea. It was an intelligent idea. Why? Because ISIS managed to get its hands on all the materials needed to create and forge passports. They managed to do that. They got the cameras, they got the computers, they got the passport books, they got their everything needed, the printers, everything needed to forge the most perfect passport, because the equipment that they used was official equipment of that government. They could create passports for anybody. This is why ISIS, in my honest prediction, are going to be more successful when it comes to creating these terror attacks in other countries, because they can create these passports.
They got their hands on this government equipment in Syria, Iraq, and Libya, and probably a few other.
And Yemen.
Yemen. So, I mean, these this is real government equipment. This is not, and it's not as if they, you know, just robbed a building and absconded with it like, you know, common criminals and bank robbers. No, they just took over the damn country or parts of it, and they took over because they took over that part of the country. Well, there are government offices in that country, or in that part of the country, that they obviously, you know, to the victor go the spoils type of thing.
Exactly. Al-Qaeda didn't have this equipment. Al-Qaeda still doesn't have this equipment, even though they had access through the Taliban when the Taliban was being pushed out of Afghanistan and into Pakistan. They left all this government equipment behind, not to mention that the Taliban wasn't exactly the most organized government on the planet. In fact, they were disorganized.
You're fading in and out again.
But
yeah, these
that as as it may, Syria, organization, Iraq, organization.
Okay, now you're coming. Now you're coming back. Coming back now. For a second there, I thought you had a stuttering problem. Not to make fun of people who actually have that condition, because it's a real condition, but that's what it sounded like.
Well,
there it goes.
Syria, okay. Iraq, Yemen, all these countries are organized countries, to include Libya. So that being the case, they had these passport machines, everything needed to create a legitimate passport. Well, guess what? Now they are in the hands of ISIS. So they can send anybody anywhere on the planet. So notice, most of the countries that are on that no travel ban or that travel ban list are also countries where their passport equipment was taken from. Isn't that odd? Go figure.
By the way, and we finally had judges that are bright enough to realize that the president had the right to do this. They upheld his. They don't need it now because the travel ban has been changed and things have been changed that make it more complicit with the judge's order. He didn't have to do that, especially now that there are other judges at a higher level courts that have said no, he can do. The president can do this. Judges also said, guess what? Government doesn't got to take any more DACA registrations either. Because we also know that there have been some converts, supposedly. They're calling them converts that are crossing the border that are Latino. But yes, folks, there is such a thing as called a Latino Muslim. And some of these people are claiming to be DACA.
What makes me laugh is like not thinking that there might be a Latino Muslim. Go to Spain. Go to Spain. You will see Muslims that have light brown hair, green eyes, and they're Muslim. But then you go down the street, and what are you going to see? You're going to see somebody with jet black hair, brown eyes, well tanned, wearing a yarmulke. Jewish Spaniard. So don't even go with this whole thing about that a Muslim has a certain look. They're either swarthy, which is another way of saying brown skin, or that they're black, like Louis Farrakhan. No. Muslims and Jews, irrelevant. It's the same thing with Christians. Go to Egypt, Coptic Christians. Go to Ethiopia, black Christians.
Because we keep...
Go to Spain, white Christians. Go to America, white Christians.
I get actually people that argue with me and fight with me about this. It's because we take a religion and we turn it into a race. Jewish is not a race, it's a religion. If you're talking about what people think are Jewish, you're talking about Hebrew. Sammy Davis Jr. was not Hebrew, but he was Jewish.
Thank you. Well, it just amazes me that people don't seem to understand that the color of your skin or where you're from, in many cases, it does influence your religious preference. But is it a definitive? No, it's not. It's an influence, but not a definitive. So most of Africa, by the way, if there are any people listening that think that Africa is not a country, it is a continent. And I'm not saying this to all the listeners, because I have had these disagreements with the mother country, Africa. I'm like, mother country? Serious? You think Africa is a country?
Africa's never been a
country. You roll with that, Sparky. You roll with that there, Sparky. You went for a big surprise. Go pick up a geography book or ask Google. But anyway, people seem to think that, most of Africa is Muslim. but it does have its enclaves of Christianity. So therefore, does being an coming from an African, from the African continent, mean that you have to be Muslim? No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Not at all. So back to the story is that ISIS does still possess this equipment. ISIS can spread throughout the entire planet, but it took somebody like President Trump to recognize and have the intelligence collected that they do have this equipment and decided we got to put a travel ban on these countries. Unfortunately, it's not a Muslim ban, because I've never seen a pack of Muslims coming out of Venezuela. I have never seen a pack of Muslims coming out of North Korea. Derp.
That's true. With that, hold on right there. We're going to take our break and we'll be back, folks. Don't go anywhere. We're just about halfway through the report today. We got a whole hell of a lot more to cover, so stay tuned.
Tired of...
I'm not Rod Eccles, and I approve this message.
How long do I have?
5 minutes.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-595-2614 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 595-2614 to take your call now. Call 800-595-2614. That's 800-595-2614. Again, 800-595-2614.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide. Plus, what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosette Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candies, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Interesting question slash comment put in the chat room by my good friend Kevin. He raised an interesting topic about the passport equipment and passports. And of course, some people might view it as being a little bit conspiratorial. And Agent and I were just discussing this off the air during the break, that it not so much as being able to have enough of these passports or equipment that can establish or give out all of this, these passports to all of these, you know, troublemakers all over the place, especially in Europe. But could it be enough to give out to, say, a bunch of commanders and sergeants in these particular countries who could then raise havoc by indoctrinating more people and putting out foot soldiers who are already there and commanding these terror cells, thus making it a little bit more difficult in order to find out who the commanders are? Because you can always, taking out the individual is just one thing. That's easy. That's pretty easy to do. We do that on a daily basis, actually. The problem is getting the commander, because what we're told in this country is this person's a lone wolf and that person's a lone wolf. The reality is that's an awful lot of lone wolves doing pretty much the same thing. Now, I'm not saying that these people aren't smart enough to imitate what they see or what they hear on the internet or something and just go out and do it themselves. They are smart enough to do that. The point is that they're doing it in certain places at certain times for maximum exposure, which sort of rules out all of them being lone wolves. Are these all test cases and these people are just martyring themselves? You know, what is your experience with this stuff, Agent?
The fact is that if... Let's take a look, first of all, at Syria. Aleppo, huge city, massive city, had a government facility there, had government buildings. So, of course, they had the passports and all the equipment that was needed for these passports. And then you take a look at Iraq, Mosul, or another city, or other cities in Iraq that were taken by ISIS. Not all these cities in Iraq had these government buildings. Maybe one or two cities.
Now, then you go to, let's say, Yemen, okay, where they may have also gotten their hands on this equipment. So between Aleppo, let's say 5,000 to 10,000 passports, Iraq, another 5,000 to 10,000, and Yemen, another 5,000 to 10,000. Okay, so overall, let's go with the highest number, anywhere between 30,000 to 35,000 passports. That is not enough to give out to all the refugees that are in these camps, but it is enough, more than enough, to give select individuals to go to these other countries and go into the mosque and try to recruit individuals. And let's make it very, very plain and simple. Within the Muslim community, they know which mosques support ISIS. They mosques support some kind of a revolution. They know. They know full and well. So, of course, they can go in there and start recruiting individuals to do these attacks. The problem is equipment, money, and time. They have the time, but they don't have the money, and they don't have the equipment. Can they get their hands on the money? Of course they can. But guess what? A lot of these mosques are also being watched for money flow, or certain individuals may be watched. So money will always leave a trail. Money will unless it's a big-ass briefcase full of cash.
Well, what about this?
There's going to be a money trail.
What about this new tactic? Now, this year, I am looking at all across the country in a number of different states where there are. I'm going to put this in plain colloquial English. There are a shitload of Muslims who are running for office and winning primaries. Is our government now being infiltrated by elected officials, because now we're starting to elect these people who sound like they're moderate? But the reality is, when you trace them back, you find out, well, they go to this mosque, which has been identified as a potential terror cell because they support jihad. So they're coming out of these places, but they're getting elected. So we find that other countries in Europe, some of these people who've been there a while, they're starting to get into local office in those countries as well. So is that a place where they might be going?
You know what? Let's be honest about something, okay? And I'm going to tell you the truth, okay? Are all Muslims radical? Hell no.
No.
No. My translator, who was full-blown Muslim, this guy, we called him Tony because his name was just like, I'm not going to say that. That is just a damn tongue twister. He goes, it's okay. You can call me Tony. I'm like, groovy, fantastic. I'll call you Tony from now on. Hey, you're from Paterson, New Jersey. I write Tony. And he got a laugh out of that. But let me tell you something. He was the most vicious SOB when it came to going up against anybody from Al-Qaeda or any possible Taliban. He was vicious because he hated them because they burned his house down. They killed the members of his family. He was vicious as hell, and he despised these radical organizations. So all Muslims are not terrorists, and they're not radicals. But what any candidate, I don't care if you're Muslim, Christian, Jewish, Buddhist, I don't care. Every single candidate that runs for any office under the sun in this country should go through a criminal background check, which includes investigation into possible terrorist or radical ties. I don't care what the candidate's religion of preference is, or preference of religion, they should all be investigated. It is even across the board that way. Because let me tell you something, like I said before, not all Muslims are radical. So there will be Muslims that just say, hey, I just want to represent my community and speak for my community. Okay, fine, groovy. So if this person does not have a radical or terrorist background, run. Have at it. Do it. This is America. But let's make sure that we're placing the right people in positions of power politically, not somebody who is radicalized beyond belief. Yeah, so, everybody should go through that background check.
Who's although he's claiming he's distancing himself from Farrakhan, and nobody's buying it, but yet he's poised to be Minnesota's next attorney general.
Yeah, well, he's dissing himself from Farrakhan. Yeah, well, guess what? You should have also distanced yourself from beating that poor woman and smacking her around, and you wouldn't be in the trouble you're in now. Do I believe you did it? You know what? If they got video evidence, dude, you did it. Cut and dry.
Evidence and a 911
if they don't
call.
Have the evidence, then my apologies.
Well, I mean,
exactly my point. So guess what?
It can't
refute that evidence.
Well, oh no, I was set up. I was framed. That's a fake, man. That's Hollywood. I haven't heard him say that yet, but
yeah.
If that does come out that way, folks, don't be surprised. I don't dislike people simply because of their religion. God knows every religion has their bad apples. I mean, just what, 2 weeks ago we got a report of a Buddhist monk, actually two Buddhist monks being arrested for pedophilia, attacking children, and a third one who raped a woman. So, I mean, I know everybody's saying a Buddhist. I know they're probably some of the last people that you would ever think would be that way. But you got to understand something about Buddhists. They're not all sit down and, you know, blessed be Buddha type of thing. They're called warrior monks for a reason. Just saying. So all religions have their bad apples. It doesn't matter who they are. Even the,
oh God, yeah.
I mean, so, but they also have their good apples too. So again, not all Muslims are radical. Well, look at Muslims, the Islamic religion is just like let me be very careful how I say this so people fully understand me. The Islamic religion is just like Judaism and Christianity when it comes to having people pick and choose the doctrine within it. You have some that absolutely follow their various Bibles by the book, by the letter, and we call them radicals for obvious reasons. And then you have people that say, take for example in Christianity, you've got a lot of Christians who believe that it's perfectly fine to be a homosexual. The Bible doesn't really say anything against it. In fact, you have some people who believe that Jesus was a homosexual. Now, are they radical on the other end? You could say that, but they're not the dangerous type. And you have a lot of Muslims who do not believe in jihad. They don't believe in, the conversion by the sword type of thing. And so are they really Islamic? Well, is a person who believes that, you got some Jews actually that believe Jesus was the Messiah, but they don't call themselves Christians or Jews for Christ. They just say, I'm a Jew that happens to believe that Jesus was a fulfillment of one of the prophets' prophecies. Are they Jewish? Well, yeah, but do they believe every last tenet within their religion? Obviously not. And that goes for any religion, major or minor. You're going to find these kind of people. So I know somebody's going to take me out of context on that, but it's out there, so can't take it back because it's on the internet. We know. But anyway, all right, let's continue with your report, sir.
Okay, now, next thing. It seems the CIA informants inside of Russia are going silent. Many of these informants were high-ranking officials in the Kremlin and strategic positions. The CIA and other agencies do not suspect that the informants are being rounded up, but have simply gone underground. It is a theory, okay, this is just a theory, that it is a result of enhanced counter-intel on part of the Russian government. But my theory is, why is there enhanced counterintelligence in the Russian government? Okay, think about this, ladies and gentlemen. It's a simple fact that it's the politicization of our intelligence agencies thanks to this whole Steele dossier Democrat crap that's going on. Don't forget that Fusion GPS, the boss at Fusion GPS says, many Russians have died collecting this information. That is a lie. I'll tell you that right now. That is a dirty lie. Why? Because the simple fact is that the FBI, the CIA, and everybody else involved turned around and said, we can't verify any of this crap. It's unverifiable. Translation, unverifiable. In other words, it can't be proven true. Because what can't be proven true? A lie. A lie cannot be proven true. Now, they say that they don't have, some people will say, well, it's because they don't have the sources. Yes, they do. They have the Russian people, Russian informants in Russia itself, within the political system of Russia. And even they said, I can't tell you if that's true. I can't do it.
A lot of Russians have died.
We don't think it's true. It's not true.
It, mayhap somebody's been watching it.
That's a lie. In fact, he can... But I got news for you. He never said Russians died. He said people have died. Never said Russians. Said people have died. And from my experience, the only time a Russian will get killed from his government is when he knows too much truth. So guess what? He never said Russians died. He said people died. And everything is unverifiable. It's not verifiable because the simple fact is that it's not true, even with the Russian informants that they had inside the political system, who also could not verify all the crap on that dossier. So it stands to reason that the entire dossier is a lie. Well, so what happens now? Well, guess what? All these Russian informants have decided to go underground because all this crap about Russia this, Russia, 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 Russia. And Putin pretty much is saying, you know what? I'm tired of us getting the damn blame. I mean, they're talking about us hacking into Hillary Clinton's server. We come to find out there's a damn good chance it was China the whole time.
They just had a report yesterday that said
so,
China.
Of course, the Russians. Well, guess what? They're countering and Russia knew it was China, but they couldn't say it was China because they're turning against, they would turn on a fellow socialist or communist nation. So guess what? They had to shut up and hope to God that the truth came out. Well, guess what? It came out. The whole time, it was never Russia. It was China. So guess what happens? Putin and the rest of the Russian government is said, we're tired of getting blamed for everything. We're stepping up counterintelligence. And if there is a leaker anywhere, we're going to find out who it is. And what the hell is he talking about with us getting the blame the whole time? Well, guess what? These leakers, they weren't talking about what was going on when it came to Donald Trump. They were giving information as to what Putin's next step is politically, what his next step was economically, what his next step was as far as dealing with other countries and possible political meddling. And by the way, we found out that the Russians did step up their political meddling. And how did they do it? They sent out more tweets and more Facebook posts. Yeah, that's the huge Russian meddling, Twitter and Facebook. Oh, let's not forget YouTube, because RT, which is Russia Times, is on YouTube. So, yeah, there's the big political meddling. And guess what? Twitter and Facebook and YouTube admitted, yeah, they meddled through us. They used us to meddle. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. The big bombshell, which I also talked about in early 2017, there it is. Russia's big meddling consisted of social media. Ooh, big meddling, big time meddling. And because of the politicization of our intelligence agents, thanks to the Democrats, we're now losing our informants because they're going quiet. They're shutting up. They're not being rounded up. They're not being killed. They're just saying, I don't know nothing, and I'm not talking to you anymore. Game over. Thank you, DNC. Thank you, Hillary Clinton. Thank you, Democrats, for actually taking our intelligence agencies and taking away one of their most valued assets, Russian informants. Way to go, guys.
Way to go. Absolutely. Well, I think we're at that time of the program now.
Yeah.
Where the report where you bring us, because everybody's asking, who is it? Who is it? Who is the dumbass of the week?
It is. It's that time. Dumbass of the week. Are you ready?
Who?
Get ready.
Even I don't know, folks. I don't know either.
Here we go. Dumbass of the week, ladies and gentlemen. We all know a former attorney of President Donald Trump. His name is Michael Cohen. He is not the dumbass of the week. But he did do a bonehead move. He hired the attorney, Lanny Davis, who is the dumbass of the week? Why is he? Go ahead, Rob. Ask me. Why is he the dumbass of the week?
Why is Lanny Davis the dumbass of the week?
Why, Rod, I'm glad you asked. This is why Lanny Davis is the dumbass of the week. Mr. Lanny Davis decided to go on CNN at one time and say, "Ah, yeah, I know about the Trump knew all about the Trump Tower meeting with the Russians before it happened." And then he turns around and says, "Yeah, I lied. He didn't know. I lied." But he didn't straight out say he lied. He said, "You misunderstood me." Oh, that's political ease for he lied.
Yes.
And not only did he lie on CNN, but here's the kicker. This is the icing and the cherry on the cake. He has gone on many, many news outlets and TV shows asking for people to contribute to the Michael Cohen Defense Fund on GoFundMe. A man that's reportedly worth $10 million has a GoFundMe account, and Lanny Davis is saying, "Oh, the truth has to come out." Which truth, Mr. Davis? The truth of you lying on CNN and then saying, "Oh, no, you misunderstood me." No, we didn't. You pretty much straight out said that you knew all about it when it didn't happen.
By the way, I got from a liberal rag mag this morning that Cohen just signed a contract to purchase a $7 million loft, I do believe, home in New York. So if he's broke, how is he getting a mortgage for nearly $7 million bucks? I'm just asking a question. That's all.
And of course, but notice Cohen didn't come out and say, "Go to my GoFundMe." Lanny Davis did. So, Mr. Davis, you're talking about the truth coming out, but yet you specifically lied and then had to retract your lie on the same network that you lied to and the American people by saying the truth has to come out and support Michael Cohen on GoFundMe. You want us to support another millionaire? Oh, you are a dumbass. In fact, you're the dumbass of the week.
Goes to Lanny Davis. Yes. Well, I think he saw what happened to Peter Strzok and his garnishment of over $500,000 on his GoFundMe page. Again, a guy that had the means to. Nobody's even talking about charging this guy with anything, but yet, you know, this is for my legal defense fund. You were just fired. There is no legal.
I got news for you.
Fund,
okay, Peter Strzok is wealthy.
Yeah, he is. But yeah,
Peter Strzok is wealthy. He comes from a wealthy.
Hey, well, this is the new.
He comes from a wealthy family.
This is the new, I guess, way to raise money where you don't have to spend your own. If you're a Democrat or a turncoat, just go to the people and say, "Hey, how about you just giving me some money?" Because, you know, hey, at some point I may need to hire some lawyers and I don't want to use my own money. So can you give me some? And these idiosos.
First of all, Strzok.
Yeah, go ahead.
Strzok comes from a wealthy family. Strzok has made investments in his life where he's actually made millions of dollars. So Peter Strzok is far from impoverished. He is not the field agent that's working in some godforsaken post out in, let's say, Chicago, walking the streets doing undercover work. He is not that guy. Peter Strzok is a very wealthy individual who does extremely well for himself, and his family's always done well for themselves. So Mr. Strzok needs to take that GoFundMe account and any money that he's made from that account and donate it to charity and stop being such a little weasel. Same thing goes for Mr. Cohen and Mr. Davis. Mr. Davis is sitting there being a dumbass saying, "Oh, yeah, how many times have I said, whenever you get that what happened, excuse coming through, it's about to be another whopper of a lie." No, yes. What happened was that CNN misunderstood what I said I didn't say I have firsthand knowledge through Michael Cohen, which is exactly what he said. Then turns around and says, you misunderstood me. Translation, I lied.
Yep.
And then to sit there and say, I lied, but I'm creating a truth fund for Michael Cohen. You know what? You're a dumbass.
Well, it depends on how much money this GoFundMe thing account raises, because it might be a brilliant move. But any case, thank you so much for that wonderful report. And thanks for taking the question from one of the listeners about something very important. As always, it's much appreciated. And you know what? I'm not going to say it anymore, because you always say it's boring. So I'm not going to say be safe out there. Let's just say it's always inferred.
Thank you.
All right.
You're welcome.
We will talk to you.
You guys
later.
All have a great one. God bless and take care.
Okay. Bye-bye. You know, this whole the GoFundMe stuff, it's a new way to raise money, so you don't have to spend your own. You might want to try it sometime if you haven't. Yeah, just come up with some reason that you think you might need it, and then put it out there and see how many people go for it. You might be surprised how much money you can make.
You're listening to The Rod Eccles Show. Let truth be told.
See that cute little dog in the pet store window? Chances are it came from a puppy mill, a breeding facility that forces caged, neglected, and often sick dogs to churn out puppy after puppy to be sold for profit. Meanwhile, millions of wonderful, healthy pets end up in animal shelters. This leads to the